Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Starting a new chapter today, chapter 20. We're two-thirds of the way there. Praise God. Now, one of the unfortunate byproducts of humanity's fall from grace is our desire to hold on to those worldly things that give us value, that give us worth, and may even give us a sense of security. As an example, throughout this room today, we have a myriad of different professions represented, and within those professions, different positions are held. You may have worked hard to get to where you are. You may be proud to be in the position that you've worked so hard to get to. But what happens when someone, let's say, joins your department at your same level as you? But they may be better at certain tasks than you. More confident, maybe, in their role and their position than you are. And they may even be more popular with the staff. This can give us a sense of a threatening sense. We feel threatened by that. And the reason we feel threatened is because a big part of our value, our worth, who we see ourselves as, and the security that we place in ourselves is attached to the positions that we hold in those workplaces. And that's just one example. You can apply that to any aspect of life. And this is a similar situation to what we see in the passage that we're going to be exploring today. Just to recap, last week, Neil looked at the moments when Jesus went into the temple after arriving in Jerusalem. And he turns out, doesn't he? He kicks out all of the those buying and selling. And he says to them, "My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Before he then carries on teaching in the temple. And it is here which we pick up our passage today. Luke 20, the first 8 verses. One day, Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." He, Jesus, answered them, "I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they were convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Lord, what a joy to open your word this morning to share your truth with us. Lord, your word is truth to us. It gives us life, but it also challenges our lives. And we are so grateful for that. Lord, thank you that we have the freedom and privilege to be able to sit here without fear, Lord, of being shut down or arrested for sharing and speaking your truth, as so many of our brothers and sisters of the world have to face every day. Lord, we thank you for your presence in us and with us today. And as always, I ask that you open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As Christians, we are called to not only share the good news of Christ, but to do our best to live it with the Holy Spirit's help as Christ lived whilst he was on the earth. As we have travelled through Luke's gospel, or Luke's account of Jesus' life, we have, I hope, learnt so much about Jesus' characteristics, so much about his attitude towards people and how he handles situations that he finds himself in. And here in our passage, days before Jesus would be arrested, falsely accused, and hung on that Roman cross, we see his character shine through once again as he faithfully taught the truth of Scripture and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, of repentance and surrender to those who were listening to him within the temple precinct. But as he was doing this, the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, who it is thought were major elements of the Supreme Court of Israel, or you could call them the Sanhedrin, who met at the temple, approached him and asked him a question. "Tell us," they said, "by what authority do you do these things? Or who it is that gave you this authority?" Now, in last week's passage, we got a glimpse of a possible reason as to why they felt the need to step in and challenge Jesus at this point. Remember, Neil read two verses back from ours today, chapter 19, verse 47, 48. As he was teaching daily in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do. And this is the part here: "For all the people were hanging on his words." All the people there were hanging, not just listening, hanging on to the truth of Jesus' words. As was so often the case, as we have seen, those opposed to Jesus were trying to find ways to discredit him, to trap him, but as normal, failed to do so. So not only were they threatened by Jesus because, as we've just read, all the people were hanging on his words, but they were threatened by the authority in which Jesus previously had cast out all the buyers and sellers from the temple precinct and now taught and preached in the temple. But instead of rejecting Jesus' authority outright before the people, they changed their tact. They went about this slightly different way, and they tried to undermine his influence by questioning him and asking him by what or via who his authority, whose authority he was acting in. What's interesting is that they did not believe Jesus had authority to do what he was doing. And this clearly went against the popular opinion. Those who hung on Jesus' every word, as we have read, clearly believed that Jesus spoke authoritatively, else they wouldn't have stayed. Now, just a disclaimer on that, this doesn't mean that we should hang on every word we think is right by every person who is claiming to speak for God. We say on a fairly regular basis, we must always use wisdom and discernment when we are using, applying, and hearing God's word. Because, as Scripture has alluded to, and as we know, there are many a false prophets, many a false teachers out there. But in this moment, it is clear that those members of the Sanhedrin didn't put aside their judgmental mindset to take the time to truly listen to what Jesus was teaching in that moment when he was teaching them and sharing the gospel. It's clear they didn't take the time to put that aside, to listen, because if they had, it is highly possible that the very transformative word of God flowing through the truth of Jesus' words would have transformed their heart and brought them to repentance and reconciliation with God. I wonder if there are those in this room today who are listening to me share from God's word, who yourselves have a judgmental, disbelieving attitude or mindset to this whole thing called Christianity. I wonder what would happen if you too put your judgmental, rebellious mindset to one side and took a chance, as we often say here, that Jesus is and was who he said he was, and that he did for you what we profess he did and claim that he did. The truth is, whether you're a believer here this morning or not, you and I and we are all created creatures made by a creator God to live in harmonious relationship with God and with each other. But because of humanity's fall from grace into sin, we live in a state of rebellion against God, living for ourselves, living often selfishly, living sinfully, actions which one day will be punished via a judgment that is coming that not one person here today who have gone before or will come after us will avoid. None will avoid it. On that day, we will all stand before God to give an account of our life, our actions during life, and our attitude toward Jesus during our life. The righteous who have repented and placed their faith in Jesus will receive eternal life and the joy of dwelling in heaven with God forever. The sad truth, which we don't want to admit and we don't want to talk about, is those with a rebellious heart who have rejected God's truth, rejected Jesus the Savior, will end up in eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. And friends, the write-ups you may have read about that and the pictures from the Renaissance period you may see about hell is nothing in comparison to what it will actually be like. You may be a skeptic here, but that doesn't change the truth that Christ Jesus was and is real. I mean, just do a bit of research. For the moment, just take the Bible to one side. There is plenty of historical documents that prove that Jesus and attest to Jesus was actually a real person. It doesn't change the fact that not only did Jesus' coming bring the establishment of God's kingdom upon the earth and establish Jesus' church, of which we are all part here today, but his coming would pave a way for all people to avoid God's wrath on that judgment day and receive salvation through the sacrificial act of Jesus, who willingly allowed himself to be hung on that cross to suffer a cruel death in order to atone for the debts we all owe God. We all owe God for our rebellious and selfish attitude, but which we could not and could never pay back. Not only that, but 3 days after he was buried, he came back to life. raising from the grave and providing the hope of eternal life for all who would place their faith in Jesus, being the first example of someone raising to the new eternal life, which every believer in Jesus will receive one day. I'm getting hot and sweaty. The chief priests, the scribes and the elders were simply too engrossed and focused on Jesus' threat to their ministry, to their positions in the temple and their lifestyles, that they allowed their egos to prevent the transforming power of Jesus' preaching of the gospel from penetrating their heart and transforming their lives. Friends, if that's you here today, don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into that trap. Don't allow your ego to get in the way of the transformative power of Christ in your life. It's too much of a risk. It's too much of a risk. If that is you today, come and see me after the service. Come to the prayer area after the service. Come and grab a host, grab someone. Don't walk out those doors, because no one knows what happens an hour after the service. We never know, but we take it for granted that we know. Come and find out what it's all about. I've said before, we're not fruitcakes. We're not weird. Most of us have been where you are and challenged it and questioned it ourselves before God transformed our hearts. Let him do the same to you. So Jesus has been asked, tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gives you this authority. And he answers them by saying, I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or was it from man? Now this, it wasn't uncommon for rabbis to raise the stakes with each other and ask counter questions, just like Jesus is doing here, and just like we've seen many, many times Jesus do with the Pharisees on his journey to Jerusalem. But why drag John the Baptist into it? The reason I chuckled there, I read it John B, because I just put John B, so it's not you, John. It's not you, all right? But why drag John the Baptist into the conversation? Why is Jesus doing that? Remember, Scripture tells us that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. To give us some examples of this truth and reality, you may remember after John's birth, Zechariah prophesied over him and he said, you child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of the salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. We also see this truth when John had to correct people for believing him to be the foretold Messiah. What did John say? I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And finally, John declares this truth when he saw Jesus coming toward him from afar. What did he say? Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then he goes on and says, I have seen and have borne witness that this Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. You see, before, Jesus is willing to share the source of his authority, he would first like them, his accusers or his questioners, to explain where they believe John's authority came from. Now, Jesus isn't avoiding the question here, but instead he's taking them on a bit of a journey to for them to answer their own question. You see, both Jesus' ministry and John's ministry were intrinsically linked. So what would be true of one would also be true of the other. Which is the very reason that Jesus turns and says, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Because if it was from heaven, well, Jesus' ministry would be from heaven and vice versa. You see, Jesus' counter question was simply a multiple choice with two possible answers. Very simple answers. Either John was a prophet and his ministry was from God, or he and his ministry were not. It was as simple as that. Jesus was simply asking his challengers to choose which one they believed to be true before he would answer their question. But this challenge placed Jesus' questioners into a dilemma, because their whole purpose for challenging Jesus in the first place was to try to publicly expose Jesus as a fraud. But Jesus has turned the tables on them, which placed them in an awkward situation where their own fraud and hypocrisy would be made public if they answered incorrectly. You see, the problem for Jesus' questioners was that they couldn't answer Jesus and say that they believed John's ministry was from God, because simply put, they didn't believe what John preached. They didn't believe what John taught, which is why they didn't repent and receive baptism when John challenged them to do so. A positive acknowledgement of John's ministry now would raise questions about their previous rejection of John's teaching and call into question their own authority and integrity before the people who were in the temple listening to this conversation happen between Jesus and the scribes, high priest, and the elders. But on the flip side, if they answered Jesus and said they didn't believe John's ministry was from God, believing his ministry was purely human-based, then they would suffer the consequence of the wrath of the people, because the people believed John was a prophet and his ministry was from God. And what's the consequence for calling a prophet of God a false prophet? Who knows? Stoning. So they're caught in a conundrum. And Jesus fully knew that. This is why in verses 5 and 6 we read, and they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven that John's ministry was from heaven, Jesus will say, well, if that's the case, why did you not believe the message he brought of repentance and baptism? Why didn't you believe that? But if we say, they said, from man, then all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet. Friends, Jesus would have been more than happy to have shared the origins of the authority in which he was ministering in that moment. He would have had no problem in doing so. He would have had no issue in sharing how he was a member of the triune Godhead, made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He would have had no issue in sharing how God the Father was the orchestrator of all creation, of divine revelation and of salvation, and shared with them how in the power of the Holy Spirit, He, Jesus, was the agent for God the Father through whom creation would come to be and divine revelation would be spoken to the world and through whom salvation would come to the world. He would have had no problem with anyone who was genuinely asking. But the reality was, the reason the high priest, the scribes and the elders questioned Jesus, wasn't to find the real truth. It wasn't even to protect God's truth. It wasn't even to protect the people from a possible false teacher. They knew there was something different about Jesus. You could not have wondered. The way he taught, the way he preached, the miracles he performed, and the way the people all over Israel followed. But instead of opening their hearts to the possibility of who Jesus could be and listening to his gospel that he was preaching, they simply became threatened by him. Threatened their own authority and integrity would be at risk. Threatened that their own comfortable lifestyles, their titles and positions in the community would be called into question. So instead of being honest with Jesus about what they truly thought out of fear of the consequence from the people for doing so, they erred on the side of ignorance and simply replied, "We don't know," which was a lie. It wasn't what they were truly thinking. "We don't know," as verse 7 tells us. The religious authority, those in place to lead the way in proclaiming and teaching the truth of God, couldn't answer a me hearing it, me saying it, I will never, and I will never ever stop sharing the simple truth of the gospel. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, however old I am, whether I get sick of repeating myself like a broken record or not, because that message is life transforming. It's not me doing it. I'm just the mouthpiece. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts through the truth and the power of God's word. We, as believers here today, we must be willing to regularly take a good, hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I living with a Sanhedrin attitude? Am I living similar to what the high priest and the scribes and the elders, am I living similar to their attitude, fearful of losing my position before people and what I own in this world? Because, friends, it can creep up on us all. It can creep up on us all. Amen. It was meant to be, John. It was meant to be. But it can creep up on us all. And we can find, if we take the time, we can find ourselves falling into these traps. Falling into these traps. We don't regularly check and ask God's help to overcome this mindset when it creeps in. Our effectiveness to be used by the Holy Spirit to reach the lost family members in our lives, our friends who are lost, those people that we may engage with, whether it's at rallies or wherever it might be, those people that God places in our path will be hindered. They will be hindered. We must hold our positions and our possessions loosely and lightly and be ready to let them all go. Re-establish Christ as the source of our value and worth. And be ready to stand up and step out for Christ, because if not, we will be snared by our own hypocrisy and we may lose the opportunities we have to speak Christ into those in our world. Amen? Can I invite the band up, please? We've said before how important it is, and I know Neil alluded to this last week and his previous message. It's so important for us not to just skim over Scripture. It's so important for us to take the time to read, absorb Scripture. Because we may miss so much if we just skim it. Everything Jesus did, every conversation Jesus had, every situation Jesus found himself in, there is a lesson to be learnt. Now, we might not like that lesson. It might challenge us. It might challenge our lifestyle. It might challenge our mindset. On the flip side, it could, in that moment, bring incredible life to our bones. Can I invite you to stand, please? Going to pray, and then we're going to close out this service in a time of sung worship again. But as I mentioned, there will be a prayer over here. If anything that's been said today during that whole service, not just the message, is really just tugging at your heart, maybe you felt you've slipped into this dipping my toe into the world throughout the week and then I'll be the Sunday Christian. Wherever it might be, now's your opportunity to be able to present that to God and to turn away and actively, in the Holy Spirit's help, try to avoid doing those in the future. That's what repentance is. And we want to help on those journeys. If you are someone here today and you are the skeptic and you were here trying to figure out, should I believe all of this? I'm always going to say amen. Yes, you should. But I'll also say to you, count the cost. Count the cost. It's not easy walking with Christ, because the gospel message we share is an offensive message. People in the world do not like it. The world does not like it, because it is, the world is at odds with God. But don't leave here today without coming and asking the questions. If you want to give your life to Christ, come and see us. Let us pray for you. Let us help you on that journey as you start that journey. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know and recognize that the moment we gave our life to you, there wasn't going to be all singing, all dancing. It wasn't going to be an easy road. We recognize that we will still face our challenges. But the joy is knowing that you are walking through those challenges with us. That when we laugh and celebrate, you are there with us celebrating. But when we find ourselves in the middle of the valley, where we couldn't possibly see any hope in the situation we're in, when the world is collapsing upon us, Lord, we know that you are sitting right there next to us, holding our hand. There is no place that we can go where you will not find us, because you are with us always. And that brings us such peace of heart. But Lord, there are times where we need to be challenged. And I pray, Holy Spirit, challenge us. Convict our hearts, search our hearts, show us those areas that are not congruent with a life with Christ. Bring them to the surface. Help us to let go of them, to seek help to let go, to seek help to be, to live a different way. Because that's the joy of being on this journey of sanctification that we're on. We will only ever become perfect as Christ is perfect on that day of glorification. But between now and then, Lord, we are on a journey. And we're grateful that you are with us. But Lord, if there is anyone here today who is on the peripheries, questioning it all, Lord, I pray, meet them where they are. Meet them where they are. Reveal yourself to them in whatever way you see fit, Lord. But open their hearts to the truth, the life-transforming truth of who you are and the word that you proclaim. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.